You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about Norman Jewison's Moonstruck.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
This city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
I am good. Feeling the love.
Bella Luna! Bella Luna!
The moon, it brings the woman, the man to the woman to the man.
It does.
Whatever. And that's it. I promise no more Italian accents.
Bullshit.
What the fuck Impossible. Are any of us here for then?
Impossible.
Oh, and we also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
And also with me, both of my hands.
Oh, I don't know. What's that over there, Griggs?
I have tiny hands. I have tiny bride. Oh, wait, that's not how the movie goes.
Why do Griggs is chase the women?
And we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey. And here we are talking about one of the most wonderful movies ever made from 1987, Moonstruck.
Yes. What a pleasure to watch this film. I'd never seen it before, and put a fucking smile on my face the entire time.
Was my vibe description to you accurate?
I don't remember. Remind me what you said.
I was talking about the Kevin Kline movie that we watched where he was a pizza guy.
Yes, the same thing with that. And like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, they all live in the same world. Yes.
Wait, guys, no, this is a million times better than any of those movies. What? No.
Oh, no, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, I was like, this is just the tone that you need to expect going into that movie.
Right, what was that Michael Kline movie? I'm the pizza guy.
I love you to death.
I love you to death, yeah. Great film, the camp version of that. But yes, it is better than that, yes.
Yeah.
Kristen, was this also your first time?
Yes, this was also. Although I wonder if it has been on before, because it seems like something that I would have ignored in the background when I was a kid. But yes, it was my first time watching it as an adult.
Perfect.
It hits really hard at that close to 40 age, you know, when you're watching this.
Oh, because Cher is also 37.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's just really hardcore. And then when I looked up and I saw that Nicolas Cage was 23,
dude.
And I was like, holy shit, you could get away
so
with this
young.
In the 80s.
It doesn't read like the age difference is that big, though, in the movie.
No. He doesn't read 23 at all. He just looks gangly and weird with his weird teeth and bad hair.
I mean, I did pick up that he was in his 20s. I did p- pick that.
Oh,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought like 25, 28-ish. So yeah. Like I was feeling like a 10 to 12 sort of year gap, which doesn't seem like that much after, you know, 15. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, hold on.
After 15 years of age or after 15?
After 15 years of, never
of
mind.
Gap there. All right, yeah, yeah. All right. Anyways, yeah.
Way to make this movie creepy. How did we do it? I don't even know.
It doesn't feel creepy, you know? And like you said, you don't really know the age of all these
people.
For
a movie where there's like seven different versions of people cheating on each other, no, it doesn't feel creepy.
Well, even, no, it doesn't. You know, she's like torn between two brothers and somehow that doesn't feel that creepy and icky.
That just makes sense. It feels like everything's contained in this world and I was like, all right, yeah, it just makes sense. It's like, yeah, that's Dottie's brother or Johnny's brother. Yeah, of course. Just makes sense.
She doesn't even have to change, like, which mother-in-law she still hates. She's just switching the brother.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And it does have a little bit of the fairy tale, like, they're falling in love in, like, what, 48 hours or
two
something
days.
Like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, you know, when I'm watching the movie, I don't think about that at all, and I'm just having a great time.
No, I'm with her, because after, like, they have their, like, little one-night stand thing, and he's like, I love you, and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, I'm with her on that, yeah.
She smacks him and then goes, snap out of it, but then
she's
turns
like,
around,
snap out of it.
And we spend, like how long is this goddamn, like, getting ready montage? Like, let's make ourselves beautiful. Let's get our hair did, our nails.
Bro. When she goes through the whole like hair thing, she does like the whole new hair and everything. But then she goes home and she tries on different 90s and she starts a fucking fire and she fucking it drinks wine. I'm like, wait, aren't you going to the fucking opera? Like, this is some hardcore pre-gaming going on.
Yeah, yeah, she's prepping herself for sure.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, she's going in with the intent. I think, you know, after opera, she's definitely going back home with that guy.
Hey, man, no, she said, look, you know, leave nothing left but just the skin on my bones. She was ready. She's like, take your revenge out on me. She was ready, man.
The dialogue is great.
The writing is probably one of the best things of this film. It's really, really mm-hmm, good. Like, mm-hmm. Just this, the use of being able to tell exposition through dialogue without telling it straight out is amazing. It's very refreshing.
And getting glances, and I really like the filmmaking here. Like, unlike Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I love the way the kitchen looks. I love the way it looks at night versus in the morning, later in that day. It breathes new life into it. It's so well done.
You're right, because the first time we go into the kitchen, it's just like it's overhead dark. Over the table. Yeah. It's kind of dark around the edges, but the middle bit's a little bit overlit.
Yeah.
But then the next time we go, it's backlit. Everything's like, you know, it's daytime. It just feels a little bit different. And I love that kitchen so much. It's so open.
I agree. I love the kitchen too. And I wonder if someone said that the director or the writer, somebody has playwriting experience a background in theater.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that has any influence on things like the kitchen and how the world is contained and how you can take one set and make it look so many different ways.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a big part of it. Because Norman Jewison was like, this is this guy's first movie too that he wrote. He had written some plays. Yeah. And they were pretty well. They were kind of well received. I don't know how big they were, but anyway, Norman Jewison took the script and was like, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad. And, like, all these other studios passed on it, and he really took this up and he worked with the writer and added some cinematic flourishes to it. But you can still feel like there are spots like the restaurant and the kitchen and the house. We spend a lot of time in those areas.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt the movie at all for hanging out in those worlds. Like, once we've built them, we have the familiarity. And, like, I love all the details of all the things. Like, when they're doing the wine pouring thing with, like, the sugar cubes, like, they've done this 1,000 times.
Dude.
And, like, in the restaurant, like, the way Cher's just like, Bobo, take the card away as soon as he's like, will you marry me?
Like, dude, I love every
There's a familiarity in here that I fucking love, man.
It's a comfortable thing. It's like everybody in this neighborhood knows everybody.
Yeah.
Even down to the point where she's going out with John Mahoney, like the mother-in-law, her mom. Olivia Dukakis. She's going out with John Mahoney, and she runs into her father-in-law. I mean, I love all those moments. It's a really big city, but it also feels very, small. Yeah.
That does happen, by the way, in New York. You run into people all the time.
Holy shit.
It's a small island.
I love the old school filmmaking vibe of this, the way New York feels. The way that they're lighting up the buildings and all that. It just feels really nice, man. This movie feels like it's set in its time, but man, it is so, it's so comfortable and so nice.
Like when that moon is hitting and then the old guy takes the walk around the city just for like another excuse to go see some fucking B-roll.
Bella Luna! Yeah, all of that. Yeah,
man, that sky replacement shot where the moon is like the fucking size of the two towers and then it fades to day. I swear it looked, I watched it again tonight and it looked like it's just like that was actually the original shot and they just like did a day for night filter on it and then replaced the sky so that when it turns into like morning, it was literally the same shot.
Especially for like the late 80s, all that stuff really, really holds up. And it's also,
oh, it totally really, does.
It's really interesting to see the Twin Towers in these shots. Mm-hmm. It gives you a different feeling than you would have had at the time this came out. You know, like, oh, wow, that's weird. You know, because that's such a we're in New York thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But now it makes you think other things when you see it. It's kind of wild.
Well, it just really reminded me of like the time gone by. Like it, even though you can go to New York and still do half these things now, it was like, you can't actually touch like this. It felt like such a time capsule seeing the Twin Towers.
Yeah. Mm.
The Twin Towers are like in, I don't know, what, every fucking movie, though, that's set in New York before
9/11. Yeah, I can say this about all of them, though. But especially here, this is so romantic. It romanticizes the city in such a really nice way. It does make you think of like, oh, but if I go to New York, could I experience this? Or is this like a fantasy? Like, even though New York is real, is this like a fantasy? It kind of plays that line with blurs the line with reality. And I think having the Twin Towers in there now kind of plays into that fantasy of, oh, yeah, this is the thing that kind of, I don't know, it used to be there. I don't know. Even though it was never like this, it was always like a gritty city. It was always, but the way this movie romanticizes it is nice.
Yeah, it's a big city, and during the daytime, it feels like there's a lot of people around, but then also during the night scenes, it's very contained. It doesn't feel like, you're still swamped with people. It still feels very, like, intimate at times, which is really nice.
I really love how they open the movie with, like, classic New York shots, and then you see the Met and the whole opera thing going up. Like, that's such a wonderful, like, could just be an introduction to New York, but the fact that it plays into the story later is fucking brilliant. That's the thing that really made me kind of sit up and notice when just watching this movie. I was like, this is too intricate of a little sequence for it to just be like classic New York. And when it comes back later, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm fucking here for this. Yeah,
exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say exactly everything that's laid out plays out later. And I didn't really realize that until a second watch. Like, I let all that stuff wash over me initially, but when watching it again, I was like, holy shit, they're setting up all these beats super early.
I was glad they came back to it because I saw them setting it up and then it went to wherever, whatever neighborhood they're in. And I was like, okay, so that has nothing to do with where we're at. Like, that's the totally different vibe. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. So when it came back, I was like, oh, okay.
That's cool. I didn't realize that it was a separate neighborhood, because like not being from there or like spending a lot of time there. I didn't really notice that.
Yeah, isn't the Met up by Central Park?
Well, yeah. So where they were, so like where they were, especially like at Lincoln Center with the fountains and everything, that is, near Central Park, over in the, it's in the 50s. So it's kind of like Midtown before you get to the Upper West Side. I don't know exactly where they were, but if they were in Little Italy, that would have been way south.
That's, yeah.
I say way south. Really, again, it's a small south. Island, but
yeah,
much further south.
40 blocks or whatever, 30 blocks. That's still a good ways.
You would not associate the two with each other normally. So when they were doing it at the beginning, I was like, why? Why are you doing that?
That's why, you know, dad is taking his date there, you know? He's cheating on mom.
Oh, because it's an ass right.
That's right. It's not in the same neighborhood. The yeah, mom's yeah. just going to that same Italian restaurant.
Even though he's looking around, though, you know? When he sits down, yeah. he's kind of like peeping around. He's like, all right, we're good.
You can't
he
never
does the
be
same
careful.
Thing when he before he kisses her when she gets out of the car, when she almost dies
oh,
in that
he?
Fucking
I didn't
traffic.
Notice that one.
Yeah, he kind of he stops and looks around, and okay, I'll kiss you. And then she's like, God.
She totally almost gets hit by that fucking goddamn car.
Yeah, I saw that.
Every time I'm like,
I was like, that was not a picture car. That was like a car that got through or something.
Oh, that was some real. Oh, you're right, dude. Yeah, when she steps out, you're exactly right. I was like, that's a little fuck. She didn't even look. She just goes.
Oh, no, the actress even, like, once the car passes, she even looks at it for a second. And she's like, what the fuck? That was close. And then she goes back into character. I was like, oh, my God. Wow.
You know, I let their entire relationship kind of wash over me. until the wife brings up that he's cheating. And then by the time we get to the opera scene, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, like I think that there's a scene before then where they're kind of together. I kind of let that wash over me and didn't really get what was happening there for a second. Until...
You mean right after he like convinces that couple that he's the most brilliant plumber ever?
You what the fuck, pipes. Man? It's like ten fucking $1,000 for this? Like, you know, because
dude.
I use copper pipes.
That's all I use.
No, because I looked that up. That's like almost $30,000 that he quoted them to do that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
The
yeah.
woman, she wanted to be cheap, but the man, he got it.
He understood.
Well, I always wonder, is that an apartment he's in? Or is they're talking about the whole fucking building?
God, it looks like it's just a fucking
it's
apartment.
It's just that
like,
apartment.
Like, bonkers expensive.
She's like, the wife's like, that seems like a lot. No shit. Even if you were just like saying $10,000 today, I'm like, holy fuck, man, really? To replace these pipes in the bathroom?
Oof.
I'll take the PVC.
Right, like I'm sure YouTube has a tutorial on it. It's fine.
It's fine.
We'll figure it out.
You have such a head for knowing.
You know everything. He has two women to maintain. Okay, like he needs the money.
Oof. Yeah, no shit. And he lives in that massive fucking like. It's not. It's a house.
It's a house.
It's a house.
Yeah. It's a house.
Yeah, the guy even walks out. He's like, "You live here? It's a mansion."
Oh, dude, I love John Mahoney in this, man. That's Frasier's dad. And like,
dude.
Every time I see, first time I ever saw him that I remembered who he is in Frasier. So every time I see him now, I'm just like, holy shit, that's the dude from Frasier. And he's so fucking good, man. I need to dig out more John Mahoney, like, filmography. He's really solid.
Yeah, I don't like his character in the beginning of the movie, but once he sits down with the mom and he's with Olivia Dukakis and they're like actually starting to have a conversation, and once they leave the restaurant, it's like, okay, all right, he's not bad.
I feel like that about the whole film. Really, I mean, like,
yeah.
Once it gets to that point, to the end, it's so fucking solid and incredible. Well, like, it's just like, because we've learned all these characters and everything, just kind of like falls into place. That, like, I feel like the beginning is a little shaky at times, but, like, once we kind of get our pace and everybody kind of feels like they know their characters, it just really gets really fucking, like, strong.
They did have problems structuring the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I felt that a little bit.
Yeah, they originally, like, wanted the opera to be, like, instead of, like, having the Amora song and everything with Dean Martin singing, they had, like, the actual opera playing, and they had, like, you know, instead of, like, them setting up for the opera... They were like getting ready to rehearse the opera. So that the opera music was playing over top. And I think, what was it that the director was just like, the audience didn't know how to react to it. They didn't realize it was supposed to be a really funny comedy until about 30, 40 minutes into the movie. And he's like, at that point, you kind of lose them a little bit because they're not on board with you for the first half.
Right.
So they went back and they restructured. And that's when they did the whole Met thing. That was actually like, put together from like other scenes throughout the movie, and they made that into an open.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's fucking really well cut, then.
And it's very like, you know, like they realized there was an issue. You know, that's really smart.
What a brilliant solve too.
Yeah.
Huh. It's hard to see the flaws in your movie. It's even harder to like figure out how to fix them after you're out of production.
Yeah, and not fix them with reshoots either. Like,
yeah. No kidding.
Fixing them with the shit you already have. It was pretty crazy, though. It did blow my mind when I was looking this up. It's rated PG, and I guess the sex scene is, like, it's a very PG sex scene, right? I guess, but...
Yeah, there's no nudity. They barely make some noises.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy, though. It's just like, yeah, this, okay, I guess this is PG.
I mean, for the 80s, it's PG.
Oh, do you think this would be PG-13? You released it today?
Probably, yeah.
I was a little surprised.
Just because there's moaning or like...
Yeah, moaning. You can't show any of that stuff. PG is...
No moans.
Like, for it's 7 is the age that PG starts. And I mean, I remember when I worked in a movie theater. Yes, because there was a children's movie that was PG and all of the parents were complaining and wanted their money back because it was too mature for their children. God. So I could not see this.
Do you remember what movie it is? I'm so intrigued.
Stuart Little.
No way.
Wait, what?
I'm totally. Isn't that PG? People complained. Sure,
maybe G.
People tell me you worked at the Collierville movie theater without telling me.
No, I did not. It was in an entirely different state.
Yeah. I was going to say, did the Collierville theater exist in 2002?
No, that's just.
Or 96? When did that come out? 99? That was fucking a while ago.
And maybe it was the second one. Or Chicken Little. Maybe it was Chicken Little. I don't know.
No, that is worse. That is like a Disney animated movie. Like, what the hell are we talking about?
No, yeah, it was animated. Okay. It was animated. So maybe it was Chicken Little. Yes. People complained about it and wanted their money back because it was too mature for their children. And they would never have known.
Conversation. Jesus Christ, people.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't think this would have... I don't think this would fly today.
Excuse me, ushers. I don't know if you know, but the chicken in this movie is talking. Totally unrealistic. I can't have my kids see this.
The sky is falling.
What? So we're just supposed to believe children when they say things that are crazy?
And I did actually, when I was kind of searching for something about this movie, I ran across a Reddit review of somebody who was like, what a terrible film this is. I don't understand it. Everyone's so dramatic, and how can they take them seriously? This is not representative at all of how people actually are. No, like, they were. This was a very angry review.
Missing the point.
And I really wanted to know how old this person was. I want to know how old this person was.
Of course, it's going to be dramatic.
Passionate. Okay, he's passionate.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
It's so funny because, like, the whole time he's, like, having his, like, introductory scene, I was like, God, I wish Nicolas Cage acted like this still because this is wonderful.
He does not.
He does not act
like this anymore, bro.
No.
This is Nicolas Cage really giving a fuck. Like, I have not seen him give a performance like this in a hot minute.
It's so over the top, but also it feels like it's okay in the film. Like, I've read reviews on this where people are like, well, Nicolas Cage didn't realize what film he was in. He wasn't in the same film as everyone else.
I think this actually fits
really fucking well in the scope of this film.
Yeah, especially when Danny Aiello is his brother. Like, it fits perfect.
Yeah. When he throws that fucking table and stops to, like, fix his hair and then keeps going.
He's like, that was too
much.
Hold on, Nicolas Cage.
And that posy strikes, dude, like Raffy.
Oh my God.
He fixes his hair.
Fucking kills me.
Let me strike a pose.
Where are we going?
Now I'm going to grab you.
Taking you to my bed.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm okay with it. Whatever you want, I'm okay with it.
You take your revenge out on me. Leave nothing less but the skin on the bones of my body. Like, holy shit.
Where's the passion nowadays? Like, come on.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah, for real. Like, oh, yeah, what happened? Why are we all so sexless? God damn it. You don't see movies like this anymore. When's the last, like, what's the good, like, not even a rom-com, just, like, the last good, like, romance film. Like, even the last one that was a big hit at the box office, wasn't it, like, about some toxic relationship? What's the Blake Lively movie that was a big hit last summer? It Ends With Us or some shit, or Just Us, or I forget what the name of it is.
Something With Us. It Ends With Us? It Ends With Us.
Oh, okay, there you go.
It's still making headlines because of the lawsuit now.
But yeah, isn't that like a movie about a terrible relationship?
I think that I didn't see it, but yeah, I think it's abusive.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my kind of romance movie. Yeah, like Challengers and shit like that. That's, just really,
that's what I'm
like,
talking about.
Challengers, yeah, that was a
fucked
romance.
Up relationship.
Oh, no, we've talked about a really good one, Gone Girl.
Oh yeah, dude, exactly. Yeah, no. See, that's older though, but yeah, you're right. That's like, now that's a very modern, complicated relationship.
Think I'm gonna become celibate now.
Yeah. It's about the nuance, Brian.
Yeah.
Did you slit somebody's throat for me? That's love.
That's amor. The moon brings the woman to the man.
I love that old guy.
Dude, he's so fucking awesome. Actually, my favorite part was at the end where he's like, I'm confused. That actually got an audible laugh from me. Dude. Like, I was like, holy shit.
I always forget about that line. I was literally crying. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah. That poor old man, especially when he comes across his like daughter-in-law with this other dude, he's like, what the fuck? And then you think he's about to out her, and then he like, in the beginning, when he goes to his old man group, you know, where they're all talking about the bullshit in their lives, he's like, well, you know, my son's not wanting to, you know, pay for the wedding, and I need to, like, approach him, and he's like, I need to find the right moment. And then we get to that right moment, and you're thinking he's about to say something about, you know, John Mahoney, but then he brings that up. It's so fucking good, man. It's a great payoff.
Oh, yeah. It's a very that like, whole Shakespearean last scene. End.
Exactly. That whole last scene is excellent, and that's probably the best that Nicolas Cage is throughout the entire film, is in that little moment throughout there. Like, he's... I don't know. I love all those little beats.
I don't know. I really like him after the opera, when he's, like, sitting out at his door, and he's like, come to bed with me.
Get in my
bed.
This
is your place. Oh, of course we're here.
The stars there forever. We. It's so ridiculous. I love it, man. Well, he's like he's a bread poet. It's like, what's going on here?
It, which is crazy. It's like he bakes bread. He's like fucking living. He's got this fucking one fucking hand, and then like, you know, but he's really into opera, you know, and like poetry. Yeah, it's excellent.
Oh my gosh. Are we a break here?
Sure.
Yeah. You know what? Let's watch the great trailer here for Norman Jewison's Moonstruck. We'll be right back.
The moon brings the woman to the man. Capisce?
The moon is a little like love.
Will you marry me?
I will marry you. I will be your wife.
You love him, Loretta?
No.
Good. When you love him, they drive you crazy.
Sometimes.
Why are you marrying Johnny? He's a fool.
It makes you act a little crazy.
Where are you taking me?
To the bed.
Oh, God. Okay, I don't care. Take me to the bed.
Isn't it romantic?
You got a love bite on your neck. Your life's going down the toilet.
You'll have your eyes open for you, my friend.
I have my eyes open.
I'll say no more.
You haven't said anything.
Ah, que bella luna.
You ruined my life.
That's impossible. You ruined my life.
Look, it's Cosmo's moon.
Why do men chase women?
Nerves? I don't want to talk about it.
That moon. That crazy moon.
Now you talk.
I love you.
What?
Snap out of it.
I'm confused.
They say there's nothing new under the sun.
Wait a minute.
But under the moon, that's another story.
Do you love him, Loretta?
Ma, I love him awful.
Oh, God, that's too bad.
Cher, Nicolas Cage, in a Norman Jewison film.
A la familia, eh?
A la familia.
Moonstruck.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Norman Jewison's Moonstruck. What a good trailer. Good VO.
Good trailer.
That was the entire fucking movie. My God. Even the final shot where the whole family's together and the brother's okay with it. Like,
yeah, but it makes me want to watch it again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
You know exactly what you're getting. It's a rom-com.
Yeah, it was great.
Boom.
And that old school VO just really like fits around me like a nice
Norman
warm snuggie, you know?
In a world.
Yeah, man.
Where the moon can actually influence people.
Was that
Don
Fontaine?
The women to the moon. Was that Don Fontaine?
I don't know. Was it?
Don Fontaine?
It sounded like him, perfect. But yeah.
Yeah.
Why do men chase women?
What women want? Wait, wrong movie. Sorry.
Because we're scared of dying. That's why.
Yes.
Figured it out.
You answered my question. Thank you.
I love every moment of that. Yeah.
I like his first.
His first explanation where he's like, well, you know, there's a biblical story for this. Adam gave one of his ribs.
Gave one of his ribs. We just don't feel like we're whole, you know? Like we're missing something. We need a woman in our life because we got a rib missing, you know?
Olivia Dukakis' face is just like, I don't buy that shit at all. Oh, it's so good. All right, we were on break. Kristen, you were saying something about people with their negative reviews.
No. What I was saying was people of undeterminable origin were posting on Reddit saying that they could not understand why people liked this movie because they themselves did not like this movie because it had unrealistic dialogue. Also, Nicolas Cage was clearly abusive because he flipped the table. And what was the other complaint?
Abusive because he flips the table.
He's abusive.
Well, that's, you know.
What?
He didn't flip her, you know?
He stopped it out on to the fix table. His hair and she was like, yes, sir.
Well, so again, this is why I question the age of these people and if they have any life experience or if they're sort of like where they're basing any of this from. And I suppose an abusive person could flip a table, but like I did not read this as an abusive person at all.
If the only other time you've seen a table flipped in front of a woman is in Titanic, then yes, I understand how you would draw that conclusion.
That's definitely an abusive
exactly.
table flip.
Yes.
That was
an abusive table flip. Yes, that was a really good pull, Mike. Thank you.
So we have what was wrong, and now we know what's right. All right.
Now we know what's right. There you go, kids.
Everything,
that's the difference.
Everything in perspective. That's right. Perspective equals 100% truth. So, yeah, I completely get that.
Oh, and there were a lot of comments also. Every single review, maybe it was the same person. They just kept making different accounts because they kept, it kind of right. read like the same thing.
It's the same
but,
guy.
They were like, let me try it again.
I didn't get it right the first time.
Not getting enough traction. Yeah. Need a couple more upvotes.
But they were like, how could Cher fall for him so quickly? What are they? They're not high schoolers. That was what they all mentioned, was that they're not high schoolers.
Oh, wow. So the old,
which again,
can
I
you
don't
fall
think
in
you
love
have
at first sight?
Any like, life experience.
Yeah. You're
kind of thinking this. Or you have a very sad life. Like, I don't know. One or the other. How horrifying if you have never experienced even momentary like falling in love, even if it was shattered like a minute later.
Yeah.
Come on.
That is a lovely, beautiful part of being alive and being a person and finding desire and attraction. And if you're denying yourself those things, then that's maybe where you should start. Not calling a movie where people fall in love at first sight. Like, and it wasn't even at first sight. They fucking talked for like a couple hours and were more real with each other than they had been with anyone else for a while. Like they talked. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a really great point. I'm so sorry, Jared. Hold on one second, because that's a really great point. There's more intimacy in this than there is in any modern sort of romance, rom-com, anything. Like, yes, they have sex really, really quickly now, but it's not, it lacks the intimacy and it lacks the depth that is in this. Okay, I'm sorry, Jared. Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. And it's just like, like the same thing with that intimacy thing is like she goes up to his apartment and he's like, what the fuck is that smell? She's like, I'm making you a steak. He's like, what the fuck?
Like, she makes him a goddamn steak before he even like finishes
and, like,
a record.
Yeah, like, yeah, she's like, it doesn't matter. You're gonna eat it bloody. You need the blood to get, like I don't
and
know.
He's immediately like, yeah, that's good. God damn it. And okay, thanks. I love his acting in that moment is so perfect because you see his entire body like fucking diffuse.
He's like, oh, it's good.
It's good.
And he's eating the steak with that fucking broken ass wood hand.
Yeah.
Stabbing
it's
it.
Great. It's oh, great.
That's hilarious. Come on. Whoever said this script wasn't realistic, like, seriously, go fuck yourself. Like, if you want realism, fucking go watch the news. We're here for cinema. And,
exactly.
You know,
yes.
We're telling a story here, you know.
It's escapism, people, all right? It's supposed to make you feel good.
Well, and the other thing that I think that is kind of missing from this is, yeah, okay, it's escapism, and yes, it does make you feel good, but it's not, it's, these people are passionate about something, and I love that. Like, who cares if they're being dramatic? Like, it's fucking great. They feel something. Like, Where's the feeling?
I mean, they literally say, "You what does she say? Like, you woke me up, or I feel alive now, or I was dead before, or something like that. And they both exchange that little thing. Yeah, dude. There's so much passion in this.
His introduction, he's like, Chrissy, over on the wall, bring me the big knife. I'm going to cut my fucking throat.
I won't do it.
There goes the most tormented man in the world.
I didn't think we, like,
I am in love with this man.
That was the only time where it's like, I felt like, really? I knew. Just because of the way she was reacting, I was like, oh, she's in love with him. Then it cuts to her, and she's like, I'm in love with that man. And I was like, all right, we already know that.
Yeah, we know, Chrissy.
We know.
We know. Well, I love how like, her character is there to do so much and also, like, establish that he's at least worth loving from, like, a crush kind of perspective. Like, at least this girl maybe not doesn't have as much life experience as Cher, but, like, she's crushing on him. He can't be that fucking terrible, right? Like, I don't know, maybe. He's going to kill himself in front of someone to prove a point.
I thought that was so funny. I'm sorry I laughed so hard when
I said that. I'm going to slit my throat right here.
So stupid.
I won't do it, I tell you. while everybody's, like, standing around, like, making bread, just looking at him, like,
yeah.
Are you going to, like, I don't know. He seems a little crazy. He could.
Maybe do it.
Just keep waiting.
Nope. It's just going to make more bread.
I do. I admit, I super love all the reaction shots. They're timed so perfectly.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of scenes with a lot of reaction shots. Like, almost every time they're on the dinner table, there's a few people there, and they're cutting around the room. I don't ever get bored in the cutting around the rooms, because there's so much, like, interesting things that they're happening that all those characters are doing.
And it moves really well. Yeah, the pacing in this is excellent. Like, the film just, like, it just keeps fucking beating. The editing in this is really, really, really well done.
Yeah, it is. Lou Lombardo.
What did you guys think of the end when the mother miraculously recovered and it was seen as a sign of bad luck for the marriage?
When they first time you showed her sitting in the bed, I was like, this lady isn't dying.
She ain't dying.
I haven't told her yet. No, I'm waiting for her to be peaceful.
She's just been yelling at you the entire time? Like, what do you mean peaceful?
He's got Cher's talking too loud on the other end of the phone. He's like, shh. He starts talking quieter. That's so
I like
ridiculous.
How she didn't give a fuck. She's like, how was the flight? You know?
and she, instead of saying, like, I love you, what did she do? Like, make sure you wear a hat because you go outside, you know, get sunburned.
Oh, my God. When she paused, she's like, she's like, oh, I got to think of something to tell him or he's not going to think I care. Oh, right, my hat. Thank you. Yeah, I have my hat.
That is that's really good. I also like the aunt and uncle, the people that own the grocery store or the deli.
Oh, yeah.
They're so fucking cute, man.
They're adorable.
You're a wolf. I see it in you. I see it in everyone. You know what I see in you? The woman I married.
That was a different couple. That was,
a different couple?
Yeah, that was a liquor store.
Oh, you're
couple.
Right. Yeah, you're talking about the other one where he's like,
Isn't it romantic?
He's like, look, it's Cosmo's moon.
Yeah.
It's the moon I was talking about at dinner. Yeah, I love that scene.
I love how he gets, like, super horny, and then later she's like, I don't know what's gotten into him.
And he started, like, talk about it at work, and she's like, shut the fuck up. The coworkers are going to hear.
Yeah.
Will you not kiss and tell, bitch?
I love that old
That's
man.
The point of marriage.
He's like, what, you got a date? He's like,
everybody knows.
Yeah, you're planning your wedding. That's all so romantic. God, hey, Bobby, make me a bowl of minestrone.
When he walks into the back and they're all like, yeah.
Dude, yeah. Dude, I even love when they have the proposal and everybody in the whole restaurant's all, like, fucking getting into it. And, like, I don't know. It just feels so good.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of... Not a good background.
No, but that proposal when they're like, what's he doing?
She just got him on his knees. He's going to ruin his suit.
In his suit? This is a nice suit.
He does have that one weird line there where, was it John Mahoney? Like, it's the first time, like, the girl, like, throws water in his face and gets out. And I don't know.
He's like, look,
Aiello,
he can't even control his woman.
Right, yeah, he says that.
Oh, man,
and it's,
yeah.
Like, it's so weird. I guess they put that line in there to, like, point out that, like, he's also being controlled by his woman. Like, she orders the food for him. Like, oh, no, yeah. No, you got the wrong thing. That's going to be terrible for your stomach. You need something
you're
basic.
You're going to have that oily fish on your stomach. You're about to get into an airplane. You need to put a little base. We have the man that got there. You know, a little, like, base your stomach.
Well, she's mothering him, and, like, yeah. he is literally a baby, and he gets called out for it later, too. Her mom says that to her?
Her dad
says that?
He's like, he's a baby. He's a big baby.
I think the movie goes through a lot of lengths to establish that, like, they're in a relationship, but it's just, like, this quasi-business sort of arrangement. Neither of them are into it. It's not really good for either of them.
Marriage of convenience.
Yeah. And then her whole rant about, like, I'm doing what I have to do to get married. Like, it's a good setup. If you're going to do a movie like this where you're going from one brother to another, like, this is a really fucking good setup.
They also make it easy at the end, too, because Danny Aiello is getting ready to, like, break it off with her, too. So,
yeah, that felt a little convenient, but, like, I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. This could have been a lot more awkward, and I'm actually very okay with it just being fun and comfy like this.
Yeah.
But that plays into his character, though. He doesn't really change. He's still himself. You know, he's, you know, that's exactly what he would do.
That doesn't sound like Johnny.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think he put a lot of thought into the proposal.
Because he literally didn't.
He didn't have a ring.
Yeah.
I like this ring.
He's like, my pinky ring? What? I love how the guy next to him, the other table, is like, look, pal, I would have brought a ring at least, you know?
Capiche?
I would have even copped for a ring.
I guess we should go over budget and box office. This was made for $15 million.
All right.
Okay. I guess like 5 to 8, so yeah. More than I thought.
Domestically, it made 80.6, made $122 million worldwide.
Whoa.
Was the number 5 movie of 1987. I got 6 Oscar noms, picture, director, and it won supporting actress, screenplay, and best actress.
Who was supporting?
Olivia Dukakis.
Yeah, she won.
Yeah. And then Cher won best actress.
Cher won best actress for this?
Yep.
Damn. Nice.
And, what was the other one?
And then it won screenplay, actress, and supporting actress.
Nice. I thought it was also up for editing.
No, it was the other 3 it was up for, I didn't get, were picture director and supporting actor for the dad playing Cosmo. Vincent, what's his name? Gardenia? Something like that. I forget what it is. Yes, Vincent Gardenia. I mean, it was a crazy year. Best Picture nominees were Fatal Attraction.
Wow.
Broadcast News, Hope and Glory, Moonstruck, and The Last Emperor won.
Last Emperor is one?
Yeah, that's the one that won Best Picture, which is crazy. That is not the movie I would give it to.
2 rom-coms for Best Picture in the same year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a James L. Brooks rom-com, you know, he's got to throw, like, something tragic in there as well. He's like, you've laughed enough, fucker, all right? I need to see some tears now.
I do like Cher's transformation in this, when she's dating Johnny to when she switches to Ronnie, and how much younger she looks and what they change, how they change her hair and even her makeup and... Yeah, her clothes a bit, but I thought it was absolutely wonderful because she goes from the beginning of the movie to having her hair pulled back. She's, you know, you can see all of her gray hair.
Yeah.
And she just looks so much older than I think she actually is in this. And then when she goes out with Ronnie, like her hair comes down, she actually starts taking, you know, a moment to care about her appearance. She does her makeup. Like, she just looks so... Like, when she goes to the opera, she looks so stunning. I was really impressed by that.
Can I just say, I have always had the exact opposite opinion. I love her gray hair and the way she looks in the beginning of the movie. And then when she gets dolled up at the end, I'm just like, you look like every other, like, just really beautiful, attractive woman out there in the world. Like,
no, she doesn't.
No, when she's got those little grays in her hair and it's like all frizzy,
they're
and it's
still
pulled
there.
Back, and she's got that, like, what is that? What is that, like, little sweater shawl thing she wears over her? I just fucking love it.
No, she's super cute. I didn't say she was ugly. I said she looks, but I do think she looks
it was
better.
Transformation.
Yeah. No, I liked her hair at the beginning, and actually, I didn't realize that her hair was pulled back until later. I thought she just had short hair, and I was like, oh, that's a really good look for her. I didn't realize. And then later, when she actually does her hair, I was like, no, that's so much better.
It's crazy how much hair she has. Fantastic. You don't really know.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
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 Yeah. She has a lot of hair. But actually, the other thing, I think it's funny you say that, Brian, because when she goes to the opera, I think she's wearing such little makeup. It was actually, I thought, a real, because her features are so distinct and she's so beautiful on her own that they did not actually put that much makeup on her. And I actually loved how understated everything was. You're right, it's in contrast from when she's like in comfy clothes at home, but I don't know, I thought it looked really good. And they played with her, they didn't make her look like everybody else. Actually, I'm going to disagree with you there. They did not make her look like everybody else. They enhanced her.
Well, okay.
And I loved that.
Let me say, maybe not like everybody else, but how about it's closer to how Cher looks when she's on stage singing?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But that also, that very first close-up of her when she's sitting at the, you know, at the flower shop and they like, the old man gives her a flower,
oh,
and then like they go into the mirror.
She's so
right there.
Beautiful, man.
It's
she
so
looks
fucking
so
perfect.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah, it's very, very perfect.
Yeah,
thanks, Carmine.
That's the best she's ever looked, I think. I don't know.
I think there is an element though of like if you're seeing Cher in a movie, you want to see her glammed up, and so like the Met, the opera is a good opportunity to be like, here's the Cher you kind of thought you were going to see, but it's maybe not the way you thought you were going to see her. And I love the way she steps out of that cab, and it's the fucking ruby slippers. Like,
yes.
Those shoes are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, dude. And I also liked when she went to the salon. It was a Cinderella salon.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Fun little cinematic things. Fuck your realism. It's a goddamn movie.
What movie's realistic? Come on.
Come on.
What was that documentary back in the day where it was like... It was the documentary on why you should shoot on film, why movies should shoot on film. It was with Keanu Reeves, and he was like asking all these filmmakers why they prefer to like shoot on film, and he's talking to James Cameron. He's like, doesn't film make it more real? James Cameron's just looking at him like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about real? Like, outside of this frame, there's like a fucking goddamn dude holding a boom mic right in front of these motherfuckers with his ass crack hanging the fuck out. Like, what are we talking about real? We ain't making reality. And it's just like, yeah, thank you. Thank you. When we're talking about reality, we're talking about finding the truth in a scene to make it feel real. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about real fucking life, motherfuckers. Nobody wants that. That's boring. That's the shit we cut out. Ran over.
Came for Moonstruck, stayed for the rant about realism in film and cinema. Thank you, Brian.
You know, I just repeat what JC says. Cinematic Jesus Christ, also known as James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Or John Carpenter. They, you know, either one. It's fine.
It goes both ways. Yeah. Callen. Yeah, all of them.
Oh, the old JC.
Are we rich JC or poor JC?
Maybe one day we'll be rich. I don't know. We're trying.
All right. Until then, we're going to copy John Carpenter.
Oh, if you're going to become a carpenter, who better than John?
Oh.
Indeed.
Oh, my God. On that note, are we at ratings here? Who's going first? Who's rating Moonstruck?
Man, I don't know what to even, like, count this down for. Like, this is it's a perfect ride from start to finish. That there's a little bobbliness at the beginning, but it the movie finds its footing as we, the audience, find what the movie is, and I think it works really well for where we go. Sometimes I feel the age in like the graininess of the shots, but like this movie fucking holds up, dude. For 1987, like the dialogue is fantastic. The characters are incredibly well-rounded and well thought out. I love all the background shit in this. Like even when the old man goes to the church and like there's a no dogs allowed, like fucking insert shot while he's walking his dogs in. Like there's so many fun little details that this movie just exudes passion. And that's what makes me love it is everybody, even when they're being melodramatic, it works because this movie is full of passion and a movie that's called Moonstruck. Give it to me. Yeah. Cher is just magnanimous in this. Nicolas Cage is the kind of form that I wish we had in half of his fucking movies, man. That dude's been acting for so long that it's really fun to see something that's relatively early in his career when he actually is kind of, like we said, giving a shit. So that's really, really fun. I love seeing John Mahoney in other roles besides Frasier. I forget the name of the dude that plays the Johnny or whatever, but he's fucking fantastic in this. Like he's
Danny Leo.
Yeah, man, everybody's really, really great. The casting is spot on. The directing is really, really perfect. But I think where this movie shines is how it moves, how it's structured, to balance all these relationships, to balance like some of the mystery of who's going to cheat on who, who's going to find out. Like the small town feel of the big city really, really plays so well. And that's thanks to the way that the cross cutting happens and the pacing of the movie. And it's just really expertly crafted. There's nothing wrong with this movie whatsoever. It's a fucking fantastic ride. I've watched it 3 times in the last 8 months and it's glorious every time. It's a perfect 10.
Ah, Mike. Beautiful.
Perfect 10. Yeah. All right.
Waiter, do away with the dinner and any trace of her and bring me a big glass of vodka. You know, like, I'm going to enjoy my time no matter what happens, man. This is the first time I've ever seen this, and it has instantly become a classic in my eyes. Like, I really thoroughly enjoyed this, like, both times I've seen it so far. The second time, I even loved it even more. This movie has magic about it. It feels like it encapsulates a time. And it just feels like classic cinema to me. And it's like I kept thinking of things like you know, My Big Fat Greek Wedding and things like that. Like that. This is like, boy, this is where we feel. It has that like feel good vibe like that. And I understand why it was a hit at its time. And it really does stand up. And I've been telling everybody about it. Like, if you haven't seen this fucking movie, you really, really need to. I went in expecting not to kind of like, all right, it's going to be a cool little rom-com thing. But man, it really does. It really holds up. And it's really fucking entertaining. And it's also really cool to see these people like John Mahoney. I'm like, holy shit. You know, I love seeing actors like that. And also, I fell in love with Olivia Dukakis again.
Yeah.
Like, damn it, man. She's so fucking good in this. In every single scene. Man, excellent acting. The cinematography's okay. You know, it's good enough.
It does its job.
No, it does its job. Exactly right. And then it's just like you feel the magic of New York. And it's really neat to see the Twin Towers and all that. I don't know, man. This will definitely be a repeat view. I don't see how you couldn't give this one a 10.
All right. Chris, you want to go next? You want to go last?
Yeah, I can go next. This is a great movie. I enjoy everything about it. It's full of life and passion and love. And the moon is a character that I don't think we talked about that is so beautiful in every shot. And I wish there were more people when you have giant full moons who stop to appreciate them. Maybe that's what's missing in the world. I don't know. Everything is perfect. I don't know what I would change at all in this. I would give it a 10.
Wow. 3 tens. Obviously, I'm going to give this a 10 as well because this is my wife and I, this is our favorite movie, like, to sit down and, like, watch at least once a year. It's my go-to, like, I feel like shit, I'm sick, what am I gonna watch? You put in Moonstruck. Everything's great, it's just a fantastic feel-good movie. This is exactly, I don't know, this is exactly what you want to feel from a rom-com, and this is what, like, even though it ends up exactly like you think it's going to, it's just done so well, and it's still surprising. Like, that whole dinner table scene at the end just comes together so fucking well, and there are all these characters coming in, and the blocking is handled so fucking, like, effortlessly. This fucking Norman Jewison's just like, yeah, bitch, hold my beer. I'm going to direct the shit out of this goddamn scene. It's going to look like fucking nothing. It's going to look like I just set all these cameras up and said action, and it just captured it this way. That's how fucking goddamn effortless it is. And all these actors are just firing on all cylinders. Like, it all works together. It's a 10. Classic.
Led by an energetic performance from Nicolas Cage and Cher, Moonstruck is an exuberantly funny tribute to love and one of the decade's most appealing comedies. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Moonstruck with an 89% tomato meter and an 81% popcorn meter.
Really?
Yeah, that's a fucking low, people.
fucking less luck. Enthusiasm than this movie deserves.
Agreed.
Well, at least we know now, like, 20% of the people watching this are confused, so that helps me put things in perspective.
I'm confused. It's a good point.
I was trying to figure out, like, who is saying these things. So it's 20% of the population. We know this now.
Yes.
I mean, this is just young dudes, right? I mean, come on.
It has to be. It has to be. Teenagers who are confused.
Yeah. Male teenagers that are just like...
Who can't control their women.
Where's the werewolf?
It's a full moon the whole time. What the fuck?
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. You want to get in touch with me? So you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Check the Gate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And what are we going to close out the show with tonight? Should we do, I mean, it's either like the Dean Martin That's Amora or, I don't know. I do like some of the score, though.
You might open with the That's Amora and then.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll close out then with track number. We're going to do track number 18, Finale. And this is from the Moonstruck soundtrack from composer. From composer Dick Hyman. Enjoy.
Thanks, Dick Hyman.